Hey folks, this is Jesse Cope, back with another episode of the American Soul Podcast. Hope y'all are doing well, wherever y'all are, whatever part of the day you're in. Sure do appreciate you joining me, giving me a little bit of your time and effort, energy, a little bit of your day. I hope maybe it gives you something to do while you're cleaning or cooking or changing diapers or laundry or studying, or maybe a break from studying or conference period, getting ready for work or driving home or to or from or ferrying kids around, etc. Maybe it gives you something to look forward to listen with somebody else or talk about with somebody else. Wherever you are and whatever gap it fills for you in the day, I'm glad you're here. And for those of y'all that continue to share the podcast, I'm incredibly grateful for that. Y'all helped the podcast to grow. And so thank you so much. Homestead. If we can get the ground to dry out a little bit, we're going to get back into the garden. The ducks are still alive so far. At least they were the last time I checked, so that's good. And I think all of the fruit trees, no, that's not true. We have one from last year that I wasn't sure about that looks like it didn't make it on one of our apple trees. And we've also got one that we put in this year that hasn't leafed out yet, one of our plum trees. And I can't remember whether plums leaf early or late relative to the other kinds. So we'll just have to wait and see. Father, thank you for today. Thank you for you, Father, and your Son, Jesus Christ, and your Holy Spirit. Thank you for the time to record this podcast and the people that listen to it. Be with them, guide them, bless them. Surround them with your angels. Protect them from evil of any kind, Lord. Guide our nation back to you. Help us to turn to you and your Son, Jesus Christ, to read your word. Give us understanding, give us persistence, patience. Help us to get our priorities in order, to focus on what's really important, Lord, each day. And to not be so easily distracted. By all the things the world offers to turn us away from you. Be with those who are hurting, those who are alone. Help us to help them, Lord, to care for them, to care for the widow and the orphan. And guide my works, Father, please. In your Son's name we pray. Amen. So we're going to go back into this Mayhew sermon that we started yesterday. If y'all are just listening to the podcast for the first time today, might want to go back and listen to yesterday's. But basically, Jonathan Mayhew gave a sermon 1749, 1750, and it was so well received that the people that heard it asked him to print it, and so he did. And I think they sold it in a couple different locations. And by a number of people, it's considered to be one of the things that really lit a fire in the colonies toward the revolution, even though it was about 25 years before that. For Christians today, it carries a lot of importance. It talks about some really hard verses to understand. And we read them yesterday. You go back and listen. It was Romans chapter 13, verses 1 through 7 or 8. And there's a lot of other verses in this sermon. It's a great sermon if you get a chance. It's pretty lengthy. You download the PDF It's about 70 pages. And so we go through it about once a year on the podcast, just because I feel like it's so important to our nation today. And so we're going to get back into it. I haven't gone over this part before. I read this, we're going to start where I ended yesterday, where I read off, ended reading. And it was talking about the fact that there's these verses in the Bible that talk about submission, obedience of children to parents, servants to their masters, and wives to their husbands, in language that's much stronger than this section of Romans that talks about being obedient to civil authority. And Mayhew talked in this little section. He said, no one argues that these verses are unlimited when you're talking about children to parents, servants to master, wives to husband. In fact, this sentence here, I'll read this one sentence again we read yesterday, but who supposes that the apostle ever intended to teach that children, servants, and wives should, in all cases, whatever, obey their parents, masters, and husbands respectively, never making any opposition to their will, even though they should require them to break the commandments of God or should causelessly make an attempt upon their lives? And he says, no one puts such a sense on these expressions. Nobody thinks that they're that absolute and unlimited. If you've got an abusive husband that's beating you, then you don't have a responsibility to stay there and be beaten by that husband to obey their desire to do that to hurt you, right? Or to break a commandment. If a parent is telling a kid to go steal, the child doesn't have the responsibility to obey the parents or the servant to the master in that case. If you're going into work in the modern sense and your boss tells you that they want you to do something really, they want you to go steal something from somebody else, right? Or they want you to, you want that promotion and you're going to have to do such and such for me, and it's not moral. Whether you're talking about something financial or sexual or anything else, you don't have a responsibility to obey that master as a servant. You don't have a responsibility to obey that parent as a child. And this really illustrates today a great, great example of Horace Greeley's quote from the 1800s that it's impossible to socially or mentally enslave a Bible-reading people. The more we read the Bible, the more we know the truth, the harder it is to get us to do things that are wrong, to go along with evil. China's doing a really good job as an atheist communist nation convincing their people that stealing technological secrets from a country that's not their enemy, or wasn't their enemy, didn't choose to be their enemy, is somehow good and noble. Well, the more the Chinese people get the Bible in their hands, the more they read the Bible, the less they're going to buy into that nonsense. And don't think for a second that communist countries, socialist countries throughout history, throughout the last century for sure plus, haven't known that people who read the Bible are much more difficult. Who read the Bible and actually pay attention to it are much more difficult to control. Which is, you're just going from one, kind of like the island hopping campaign. I'm going from one thought to the next right now. You look at the churches in Nazi Germany that went along with Hitler because they were lukewarm or indifferent or didn't have a good understanding of the Bible. And there's been a lot of times in history where that's true. And so the point still is, the more we get the Bible out there, the more people read it, the harder it is to get people to do things that are wrong. And that's really upsetting for people that like tyranny, that want to go down that path toward communism or socialism, fascism, Nazism, leftism, etc. And so Mayhew's saying here, you know, hey, this is certainly, we don't think of these three cases, that they're always unlimited and absolute. So if we don't think that here, then why would we think it when you're talking about civil rulers? It's not always a case where obedience is a duty, is a requirement. And it's also not always, in all cases, it's not a sin for resisting to civil authority, which really, again, laid the framework here for the revolution, these kind of sermons and ideas, because we were, despite what the left has tried to teach now for decades, which is not even remotely true, we were a Christian republic at the time of the revolution. I mean, we were a Christian nation. The overwhelming majority of the population, like 80, 90 plus percent of the population, certainly 90% plus of the delegates that were sent to the Constitutional Convention that we've talked about here multiple times, were Christian. And so this was a big deal to them. He makes one little sentence here at the end of this paragraph that I thought was kind of interesting. I should not have thought it worthwhile to take any notice at all of this argument had it not been much insisted upon by some of the advocates for passive obedience and non-resistance, for pacifism. For it is in itself perfectly trifling and rendered considerable only by the stress that has been laid upon it for want of better. I can't help but think of the pacifist movement, particularly in Britain in the 20s and 30s, and this idea, and it wasn't directed at a civil magistrate in obedience to civil authority. It was directed toward, they just weren't ever going to go to war again. My vocabulary has gone away again. I'm going to have to look at it to say it right. Pacifism. It just doesn't work out, folks. You've got individual cases where men of God didn't defend their lives. You've got a lot of examples and were tortured and beaten and killed, but they never just went along with whatever the enemy was doing. And the cold, hard fact is, anytime you have people in a society, especially a society that's trying to do what's right overall, that claim pacifism, what they're really doing is they're just putting the burden that they should be carrying onto their brothers. They're just requiring their brothers to carry not only their share of the burden in defending the poor and the needy, the widow and the orphan, defending those who can't defend themselves, but now they've also got to carry the share of the pacifist. There is indeed one passage in the New Testament where it may seem at first view that an unlimited submission to civil rulers is enjoined. Let me see how much time we got left here, folks. Okay, we'll get started on this today. Submit yourselves to every ordinance of man for the Lord's sake. To every ordinance of man. However, this expression is no stronger than that before taken notice of with reflection to the duty of wives. So let the wives be subject to their own husbands in everything. But the true solution of this difficulty, if it be one, is this. By every ordinance of man is not meant every command of the civil magistrate without exception. There's a note down at the bottom of this page that goes along with a sentence that says, literally, every human institution or appointment, by which manner of expression the apostle plainly intimates that rulers derive their authority immediately, not from God, but from men. So we go back up to the main part here. By every ordinance of man is not meant every command of the civil magistrate without exception, but every order of magistrates appointed by man, whether superior or inferior. For so the apostle explains himself in the very next words. Whether it be to the king as supreme, or to governors, as unto them that are sent. But although the apostle had not subjoined any such explanation, the reason of the thing itself would have obliged us to limit the expression, every ordinance of man, to such human ordinances and commands as are not inconsistent with the ordinance and commands of God, the supreme lawgiver, or with any other higher and, oh, this word, antecedent obligations. Tell you what, if you don't think that we have gone downhill in our grasp of the English language and vocabulary, just try and go back and read something not from the last 20 to 30 years written for the masses. It's daunting and pretty shameful. So anyway, what's he saying here? He's saying that we don't have this command. It doesn't apply, or it only applies when the ordinances and commands are not inconsistent with the ordinance and commands of God, who is the supreme lawgiver, or with any other higher or antecedent obligations. And so when you're looking at this and you have a civil authority and they give a command, our first requirement is to see, does it go along with what God says? And if it doesn't, then we don't have obligation as Christians to go along with it. In fact, we have an obligation not to go along with it. And he was comparing that with the scripture, right, for the wives' submission to the husbands. You have a requirement as a wife to submit to the authority of your husband if you're a Christian. We have a lot today that say that they don't, but they're not following Christ in that moment. However, if the husband is telling the wife to do something that goes against the commands of God, they no longer have that requirement to submit to their authority. In fact, they have a requirement, even as scary as it may be, not to submit to that authority of man. See how much time? We got a little bit of time. We'll start this. It is to be observed in the next place that as the duty of universal obedience and non-resistance to the higher powers cannot be argued from the absolute unlimited expressions which the apostle here uses, so neither can it be argued from the scope and drift of his reasoning, considered with relation to the persons he was here opposing. As was observed above, there were some professed Christians, excuse me, in the apostolic age, who disclaimed all magistracy and civil authority in general, despising government and speaking evil of dignities. Some, under a notion that Jews ought not to be under the jurisdiction of Gentile rulers, and others, that they were set free from the temporal powers by Christ. Now, it is with persons of this licentious opinion and character that the apostle is concerned, and all that was directly to his point was to show that they were bound to submit to magistracy in general. And we're going to come back and talk about this on the next one. The bottom line here is he's saying that at some point, when the apostles were around during that time period, there were some people who claimed to follow Christ that said, "I don't have to obey any authority because I'm set free in Christ." Or there were Jews who had converted to Christianity but still said, "Well, I'm a Jew. I don't have to obey Gentiles that aren't Christian. I don't have to obey them because they're not Christian or Jewish." And Paul was telling him, "No, that's not the way this works." So we'll get back into it. You can see the application, though, I think, and we're going to tie this in whenever we get to the last episode, but you could see the application today pretty clearly in America and really Western civilization. God bless y'all, your families, your marriages. God bless America. We'll talk to y'all again real soon, folks. Looking forward to it.